He's the same God. When my mind is so twisted and caught up in the world that I can't see straight, He's the same God, Brother David. He's the same God when I'm so bewildered by my own sin and disappointments in my life. Y'all okay? You don't leave me alone in here this morning. He's the same God whether I've committed great sins against Him or whether I love Him and I'm on the mountaintop shouting it out. He's the same God. He's the same God that brought me through all the troubles that I've been through. Amen? He's the same God that stood with me when nobody else would stand with me. He's the same God that held my heart in the palm of His hand when it was broken into a million pieces. And not only did He hold it, He put every piece back together in the puzzle. He knows the intricacies of my life and He understands just exactly what I'm capable of, and yet He loves me still. Amen? Because He's the same God. I've learned that no matter what I go through, no matter what I face, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, God is unchanging and He is always faithful and He is always good.
Amen.
And so I know that if I have been through those things and I have faced those things, then I know that I'm looking at a crowd full of people who's dealt with some of the same things. I've been studying John chapter 7 all week. All stinking week, I've listened to John chapter 7. I've read books about John chapter 7. I have studied and pored over every word of John chapter 7. I spent the bulk of my day yesterday after a race looking over John chapter number 7 and meditating on John chapter number 7 just to sit here this morning and say, turn to Jeremiah chapter number 8. I ain't studied it. I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know how long this will be. But I believe I got something here in the Word of God that my people need to hear. I don't think that I'm looking over a crowd full of perfect people. I don't think I'm looking over a crowd full of people that ain't made some mistakes and done some things wrong and lived ungodly and went through all the motions. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just thinking going through the motions. You're just here because it's the thing to do. God help. God help you. Don't you ignore me. Don't you turn my voice off. You need Jesus. God help you. Thinking you can make it on your own. Thinking you've got this thing under control. Thinking you've got everything taken care of. Thinking you've got all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed. Friend of mine, get right with God today. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 18 says, and I believe we've all been here with this, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. I believe I'm looking at a crowd, and there's a lot of you, you've tried to comfort yourself every which way you can, and ain't no comfort come. And your heart, we got a bunch of Christians that we have the Lord Jesus in our heart. We have Him living in our life. The Holy Spirit is indwelt inside of us. Glory to His holy name. We can rejoice over that, but we have Christians who live lives of defeat and discouragement and disappointment every single day because you hold on to your sin rather than giving it to God. And you try and soothe yourself with your sin. You try and comfort your life with your sin. And you tell yourself, it's okay, I can do what I want to do. It ain't hurting nobody, it's just hurting me. And friend of mine, your life is fading away because you're trying to comfort yourself in your own heart. And you tell yourself you've got it figured out. You even know how far you can push it before you really start to break down. But the actuality of it is that when you would comfort yourself against your sorrow, your heart is faint because you're trying to self-medicate what only God can fix. You've got a God-sized hole in your heart and you're too stinking stubborn to let Him come in and fill it up. You'd rather put your balm over your heart and hide your troubles and hide your sorrow and hide your pain rather than get honest with God. Brother Dorsey started out this morning saying these altars are open, and I want to extend to you even while I'm preaching, they are open. You don't have to wait on me. You don't have to wait on things to get finished. You just need to get right with God because you've tried so long to comfort yourself. Why don't you just give it up? There ain't no amount of drugs and alcohol that'll comfort you. There ain't no amount of sex and pornography that'll comfort you. Yes, sir, we're dealing with that in the church. There's no amount of hiding that'll comfort you. There's no amount of anything that the world has to offer that will fix your issue. When you try and comfort your own heart, you try and comfort your own sorrows, you find that your heart is faint within you. Why? Because you're feeding the flesh and not your heart. You're feeding what you want fed. We talk about it with fear a lot. You feed your fear and your fear will grow. You feed your faith will grow. You feed your heart and with the Word of God and feast on that. If I were to go around the room and ask you honestly, to be honest with me, how many of you have picked up the Word of God this week? How many of you could say, and I'm not talking about picking it up to move it up out of the back of the car seat that you left it in there till Wednesday, to move it into the house just to forget it on Sunday morning. I'm talking about if you could say, I've opened up the Word of God. I've opened up the app on my phone and listened to the Word of God. If we went around the room this morning and said, be honest, have you done it? How many Christians, church members could say that we fed and feasted off the Word of God? Oh, the percentage is probably greater than what I want to know. The Bible says here, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me, because the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is God not here? Is He not here? What'd you come here for? What's the reason? Did you have to come to see who's who? Did you come for society? God help if you did. Is the Lord not in His house? Where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The Holy Spirit of God pleads and begs with you this morning, stop trying to heal your own wounds. Stop trying to take care of your own heart. Stop trying to be what you think you need. Let God work in your life. What kind of testimony could you give if you just go ahead and get submitted to God and say, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you and I'm going to be open with you and I'm going to give my life to you. Somebody look at you and say, man, I know old brother so-and-so, I know old sister so-and-so, they used to be involved in some bad stuff, but the Lord delivered them. The Lord brought them through. Is the Lord not here? Watch this. Watch what God says through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images? Oh, preacher, we don't have graven images. Do we not? Do we not? Okay. Do we not have graven images? Do we not have graven images? Do we not have graven images? I love the singing. I'm grateful for it. I like how it prepares our heart. But friend of mine, if we put our abilities above what God can do, it'll medicate it for a little while, but it won't fix it.
Amen.
Do we not have graven images? Don't mess with nothing on the wall. We don't want a bunch of stuff tore up. Do we not have graven images? Yeah, come on. Well, I remember one time I had bought a vehicle, that Chevy Avalanche that Luke drives now. We'd bought that thing. We bought it new. It was the first new vehicle I'd ever bought. Miss Tara called me one day. I was at work, and she said, "You ain't going to believe this. Somebody backed into me in the bank line." I was so mad I almost lost my testimony in front of a man that needed the Lord. Think about the damage that it done. I got home and the dent that was in there was no larger than my fist. You couldn't even see it unless you looked up to it, but I'd gotten so angry. Why? Because I'd set that stupid truck up as an idol in my life. It was precious. You okay?
Come on.
We set a lot of things up as idols in our heart and in our life. The only thing we ought to come here this morning to worship is certainly not the graven images of ourselves, but the holy God who has graven us on the palms of His hands.
Amen.
And in His heart, see the book of Isaiah, chapter number, I believe it's 42 or 45, He's graven us on the palms of His hand. I don't even know how I got that thing. With their graven images, and watch this, with strange vanities. I believe we all got a little bit of vanity about us. I know I do, because I stand in that bathroom mirror going to get ready on Sunday morning. And I get irritated when that one little hair pops up on the backside. Or I get irritated when the wind blows. I come out of my garage and I turn the corner out of the garage to go to the truck, and there's a headwind coming on the side of my house and it flips my whole hair over. And my vanity rises up in me and says, "Oh Lord, I'm not going to look right for church." Here's what I've learned, Brother David. Ain't nobody come here to worship me. And I'm glad for it. We've got these strange vanities in our heart and in our lives. Now watch this, because this is scary, this next verse. The harvest is past. What if we as a church have missed the harvest that God wants us to have because we set up some graven images, we've done some self-medicating, and we've tried to fix everything ourselves rather than let God lead and let God have His will and His way? Your harvest is past, the summer is ended, and watch this, we are not saved. Done everything. You've turned every which way. But you still don't have what you need. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, Jeremiah said, through the Lord, saying it through him rather. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I want to report to you this morning, there is a balm in Gilead. And there is a physician here. There is no surgery too advanced that he cannot perform it. Amen? There is no condition too severe that he cannot diagnose it. There is no trouble too great that he cannot help it. And there is no sickness too strong that he cannot save you from it. This balm is in Gilead. The Lord, the physician, is here. Will you let him heal you this morning? Will you let him heal you? We did it a few weeks ago. I want to do it again. I know music gets people moving. I fully understand the power of music. But I'd much rather see the power of the Holy Ghost bring a church to its knees than the power of music evoke emotional reactions inside of us. If you need the balm that Jesus has, would you just come this morning? If you need what he has, will you just come? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? He is the healer, the great physician's touch, they sung it a little while ago, is a balm that can mend broken hearts with this one scarred hand.